Super pumped up about
it. What's better? What holiday's better than Christmas?
I've always said Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I just love Thanksgiving. Food, football, family, all that kind of stuff. So I've always been a Thanksgiving guy, but listen, Christmas, the movies, the music, there's so much to go along with it. And just the snow on the ground, too. Really
I love it because it is the whole month. It's not just one day. We have a great day here for you. Usually I say great show, but we've got this show. Then we've got Black and Gold Breakdown coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk today about expectations on both shows. It's going to be the primary theme of this show, expectations of Penn State fans. At 5 o'clock, expectations of Steelers fans. I'm going to make a statement. I talked about this the other day, last week. I said, you Penn State fans are crazy. I think you're delusional. I think you Penn State fans are crazy and delusional with your expectations about Penn State football. So, if you agree or disagree, give me a call, and I would love to discuss what the expectations are now with a new coach. We're going to get into that throughout the show, 946-0435. Jason is calling in and says he wants to talk Christmas songs, which leads me to playing this first, and then Nathan and I have a little trivia for you.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Nathan Forlina, music trivia expert. You know what the significance of this song is right now, today, as of yesterday?
I'm going to guess it's number one song.
It is the number one song in the country on the Billboard Hot 100, and you know why it's important this time.
Does it break the record for most times?
It has tied the record for the most weeks of any song in the history of music in this country. This song is now number one for the 19th week in its run. The song's 30 years old.
Who's that tie, Morgan Wallen?
It ties two other songs. There have been two songs in American history that have reached number one for 19 weeks. One is Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, and the other was last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know it.
I probably should.
Everybody getting drunk.
Oh,
The bar song, yeah. So those two songs, Bar Song and Old Town Road, were number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 19 weeks. That is the most in the history of American music. Mariah Carey just tied it yesterday by hitting number one for the 19th week of Make My All I Want for Christmas is You. Well, obviously, it's spread out over a long period of time. So it'll be the number one song again next week.
Yeah, what's crazy
And so by this time next week, All I Want for Christmas is You will be the top number one song in the entire history of American music. You think that's crazy?
That is crazy that you think that. Which, number one, I don't think that should be
right. It's spread out over time. She gets it for two or three weeks a year.
I don't think it hit number one until 2019.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
So,
yeah. So
I mean,
all 19 weeks were 25 years plus after the fact.
And we talked about it, like, you know, Christmas music never really, you mentioned it, you didn't really start hearing it the entire month of December.
Right.
Until recent. So that lines
I think
up
it was with streaming
argument.
Services. I think because radio stations couldn't just justify playing. I talked yesterday about the Christmas train that we have at Leitner 96.9 and 100.7. We play Christmas songs all day long on the train, all along with some awesome stories behind Christmas traditions and everything. But if you call the show this week, you have to tell me your favorite Christmas song. And then today we're going to talk Penn State football, and I want to ask everybody about the realistic expectations of Penn State football now with Matt Campbell. Are Penn State fans crazy? Are Penn State fans realistic with what they think the Penn State? Because I ripped the hell out of Notre Dame yesterday. I think Notre Dame has the worst fan base on the planet. I think they are the most delusional people on this entire planet because, you know, there are so many Notre Dame fans. So, but Penn State fans, I think Penn State fans are pretty delusional. So I'm asking for this reason. What if we're sitting here 4 or 5 years down the road and Matt Campbell's winning 10 games every single year, but he hasn't gone far in the playoff? Are you going to want him fired? So we'll get to that in a sec. Jason's been holding on for a long time on the road. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I thought for a second you were doing me theme music. You know, I called and Christmas music, and that's what I got. I thought you were giving me theme music. But no, so I'll stay on topic there a little bit about the Penn State delusional. My favorite Christmas song is Christmas Bells by the Royal Guardsmen.
Christmas Bells by the who?
Royal Guardsmen. You don't know that one?
I'm sure whenever I play it, I'll know it. But I don't know it. I don't know it by the band that you're talking about. Oh, is this the Peanuts song?
Yeah, Snoopy and the Red Berets.
Okay,
yeah.
So the why don't you just say the Peanuts song? Nobody knows what the hell the name of the song is.
Play that, Jam. Come on, turn that up.
This.
Yep.
Oh, it's such a good song.
It is a good song. Okay, all right, I got you now. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, Penn State fans are more or less delusional. As one, I'll attest to that. I'll agree. I think the AD has basically said what he expects is he wants some type of championship, whether it be Big Ten or national championship. And I think if you did that every 4 or 5 years, you had at least one of those, I think you would be okay. You better get a deep run in the playoffs if you win just Big Ten championships every 4 or 5 years. But I think that's what they expect. Hopefully, with the new way college football is, that going undefeated is not the expectation, because it's not important anymore to go undefeated like it was just 5 years ago.
There are two main points I want to make today. Jason, I'll let you talk about this first. Mitchell's on the line. Everybody can call in 946-0435. My biggest concern about Matt Campbell is that he's just not ready for you crazy people. He's not ready for you crazy bastards. Because at Iowa State, you could go 8-4, and it's fine. And this is what James Franklin, this is going to be his saving grace down at Virginia Tech. There ain't great expectations at Virginia Tech. I've heard people say if he goes 9-3 down there, every year they'll build him a statue. Penn State is different. And we talked about this, you know, Matt Campbell, this blows me away. Matt Campbell at Iowa State had a better record against top 25 teams than James Franklin did at Penn State. Let me say that again. Matt Campbell's record against top 25 teams at Iowa State, I think it was like 16, 17, and 25. James Franklin was like 15 and 25. So it was like a game better. So Matt Campbell faced no pressure. No pressure whatsoever. The only pressure there is to beat Iowa. So now he's going to step into a situation to where 11 games is the expectation, winning a national title. And look, I don't know Matt Campbell. I didn't go to the press conference yesterday. There are few people in this world. If there are more than 10, I would be surprised. Who could fully understand, like, this is just the pressure that there is, and if I don't do it, I'm fired. Those people are Nick Saban, probably Kirby Smart now in college football. I don't know of anybody else. I don't know that there's a single... James Franklin clearly wasn't. Dabo clearly isn't. These people don't understand even the pressure that they've built up amongst themselves. So, Jason, that's my concern, is that Penn State fans, through their unrealistic expectations... I wanted to mention this. So, but Matt Campbell had a better record against the top 25 than James Franklin did. But Matt Campbell lost to Colorado this year. Colorado. Deion can't coach for crap. Deion might be the single worst college football actual coach. Now, he can do all the rest. He's the number one entertainer. But in terms of actual coaches in FBS football, he might be dead last. And yet Colorado beat Iowa State. Could you imagine? I mean, to me, that's worse than UCLA beating Penn State, to be perfectly honest with you. So you jumble all that up together, Jason. I'm just curious your thoughts on the amount of pressure that's going to be on this coach.
Well, I think the Iowa game there is kind of like, that's the microcosm, because where that was the expectation at Iowa State, just beat them, and not the expectation, that was like their goal. Like, if we can do that, we had a good year. That's like the minimum at Penn State.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't beat Iowa, you had a terrible year regardless of what you did the rest
of the year. Because you've also probably lost to Ohio State and Michigan and somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, and even if you beat, let's say, Michigan that year, and you'd still lose to Ohio State, people are still going to be like, well, why'd you lose that Iowa game? What's wrong with you? So, yeah, that's, like I said, that's kind of the minimum. So he's gone from his, you know, championship of, you know, if I win the state championship of Iowa, my season's successful, to if that's the best team, if that's my best win, it's still not good enough.
And here's the other thing I wanted to mention as well, and so I'll let you close with your thoughts on this. When we talk expectations now, Indiana and Texas Tech have changed the game. They've changed the discussion. Nathan, I'll get your thoughts on this too. When you can be the losingest program ever and then be the number one team in the country, and then Texas Tech 2-3 years ago was friggin' terrible. They won 2 or 3 games. They're the number 4 team in the country. And quite frankly, I think Texas Tech could conceivably win the whole thing. They've got a real, because they got money, and were able to go buy a lot of players. So how much does, when we couple these two discussions together, well, if Matt Campbell, who's going to get a $30 million NIL budget, if he can't do what Kurt Cignetti or whoever the hell is that Texas Tech, who's their coach?
Joey McGuire.
Yeah, whoever the hell he is. If Matt Campbell can't do what Indiana and Texas Tech have done, is Matt Campbell going to be then considered a failure? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that change is what fans are going to have to adjust to, this collegiate football league that they're in now. You're kind of collegiate and you're kind of professional, where that stuff can happen, right? Where you can just say, this year we're going to go out, we're going to buy a great team, and that's what, and it doesn't always work, but it can work. And then you have Indiana's of the world going out there and winning Big Ten championships when they haven't won anything ever. But that's really the difference, is the fans have to adjust to say, this isn't, you know, 1990s, 1970s, even 2010 NCAA football anymore.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. It's been a while. Mitchell, I'll get to you in just 1 second. What do you think, Nathan, Indiana and Texas Tech have done to college football as it relates to what I'm talking about? The expectation now is even higher at Penn State than it's ever been.
Yeah, it just puts more pressure on these coaches, because everybody's going to point and say, look at Indiana. They were a dumpster fire for 70 years. They didn't win a Big Ten title since World War II, like outright or something like that. So, you know, people are going to point to that and say, well, if you're not getting it, if they're getting done in Indiana, you should get it done with Penn State with all your resources.
Right
on.
Now.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
It should take 2 years max to turn
max. That's what we're talking about. And you and I have talked a lot about this over the last month of what's the schedule look like next year. We don't know who's going to be on the team. No coach can come out and make promises of how good you're going to be. But Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti took over and was in the playoff and undefeated in year one until they lost to Ohio State. And in year two, he's the number one team in the country. So does that change the time frame? Are Penn State fans going to give Matt Campbell 3 years? Because quite frankly, I don't think they are.
Here's the thing. I don't think it changes the time frame for administrations. For fans, yes. I think fans look at that.
That's interesting because I'd almost flip it. I think with what Kraft has promised him, I think Kraft is going to want to see something like that within 2 to 3
years.
Now,
listen, if they're going missing bowl games, that's completely
different. No. I'm talking about I think Pat Kraft wants to see them in the Final Four within the next 2 to 3 years.
Well, yeah, I would imagine he wants to see him there and stuff, but, you know, is he going to fire him and pull the trigger after? No, I don't think
he'll do that. Pat Kraft will be fired before
that. Yeah, but
I don't think Penn State University is going to let Pat Kraft F this thing up again like the LSU guy did.
But here's the thing. I think that administrations look at what Cignetti's done and Texas Tech right now. They look at that and they say, okay, these are the outliers. Like, this isn't happening. Like, you're not usually seeing a coach come in. Like, for every Kurt Cignetti, there's 80 coaches that fail and fall directly on their face.
You know what I read today?
What's that?
Utah is going to get a $500 million private equity investment. Not the $2 billion that the Big Ten was going to get and split up, which USC and Michigan torpedoed. Utah is going to get $500 million
That's
in
crazy.
Private equity
crazy.
Money. And so basically, stockholders are going to own the Utah Utes athletic program. You don't think that that's the kind of program that within 2 to 3 years we'd better friggin' see results? And we're not talking, you know, Kyle Willingham going to a nice bowl game. We're talking you'd better compete for a national title if we're giving you $500 million.
Yeah, but here's Utah's in an interesting position because I don't know. This might be Willingham's last year. I know coming into the year there was some talk about that. So they might have to settle down their expectations if a new coach comes in and stuff like that. But I saw that today and I said, Utah, $500 million.
How many other schools are going to be able to do that? I think a lot.
How much do Penn State gets right now in private?
No private equity. There's no private equity they're getting. This is private equity is a different thing. Private equity is public companies share. You know where mm-hmm. you have to please stockholders.
Yeah.
This is look, folks. I'm not going to go too far into Wall Street here, but this is where a lot of companies really screw up. You're successful on your own. Then you have an IPO, which is an initial public offering, and now all of a sudden you've got to – it's not good enough to just meet your sales quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter after or bump up a percent or two. You've got stockholders to appeal to. Now you had better bump up 5, 8% per quarter – 12% year over year, or you're fired. It's not good enough to just be great. So when private equity comes into play here, and now you've got public kind of ownership, it is a game. The reason I mentioned Utah.
Do you think a lot of colleges are going to turn to that?
I do. Right? I think we're going to see a couple dozen at least.
So if how much do you think in private equity? That's what I'm trying to say. How much do you think?
Oh, how much could they get?
Yeah, how much could they get? Because if Utah's getting $500 million,
What's, yeah, Penn State could get $1 billion in private equity.
That's what I'm saying. Like there should be so much money.
$750 million.
That's right. What I was. I was thinking $1 billion.
Let's
really
go
was.
To Mitchell. Hey, Mitchell, are you a crazy Penn State fan where you're going to be calling for Matt Campbell's job if he's not in the national title game within the next 3 or 4 years?
Well, I think I was probably one when I was much younger. I'm calling basically because I'm a couple of days behind. I want to tip my cap to Nebraska man who said at the very sign off on your show on Friday afternoon was that Indiana was going to beat Ohio State.
Nebraska man is
getting his flowers.
Nebraska man
and
is you, loving this. He got
you laugh.
I
just,
laugh.
I just have your laugh echo. I mean,
we got to have that on standby, like just run that clip every once in a while.
You had such a big laugh on that.
I did.
Thinking,
and hey, look, I'll admit it, and I'm not wrong. I was wrong on that game, but I'm not going to apologize for being wrong.
Oh,
I still believe Ohio State is the better team.
Oh, I thought Corey was going to come out and apologize.
No.
I will apologize if I'm wrong, but not on this one.
All right. All this talk about private equity. Now in college sports is frankly making my head hurt.
Are you a anybody, you or anybody else, if there's any expert out there, I can walk you through the generics of it, but if there's any expert out there on, is say, if Penn State got $750 million of private equity, what would that do? What would that mean? Where who would the stockholders be? What kind of pressure would that be? Who would make decisions? Now, Utah, they're saying Utah's athletic department will still be able to make the decisions. That's hogwash. There's no way. There's no way a private equity firm is just going
Money
to stand by and let somebody like a Pat Kraft do something, you know, that could end up hurting the entire company. You're not just hurting a program anymore. You're hurting the investors. And so that's where things can really get dicey.
That's a very, very interesting development, I think. There's no question that money has changed all of it. And a couple of these schools, you know, and Nathan, as usual, I give you credit when you said for every Kurt Cignetti, there's 80 coaches that fail. Okay. And I hope that Penn Staters and Penn State supporters and fans and alumni are patient enough to let this guy rebuild the program, and I think he will. And I don't think he's the sexy hire. I think he's the smart hire.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the question. When we say rebuild, this is exactly what I'm talking. There ain't no rebuild.
It's a reload.
I think Penn State fans, Mitchell, realistically expect them to be in the playoff next year. I don't know about, again, this is where I throw in the Indiana and Texas Tech component that,
right,
and the component of, I know that Penn State fans are crazy. I don't believe that Penn State fans, not that they're going to be calling for the guy to be fired, but there will be a whole hell of a lot of criticism if he stubs his toe a few times next year. Again, losing a game equivalent to a Colorado or whatever, I think Penn State fans are going to lose their damn minds.
Well, I guess to quote our friend Neil Rudell, it's impossible to overcover Penn State football.
Yeah, I've heard him say that hundreds of times, right, over the years as well.
And absolutely impossible.
And that's what we're talking about, because fans are so passionate about it.
You know, I would think that a coach would rather be, you know, in a situation where the expectations are high and have the resources to meet those expectations than not.
Let me say this too, and I'll give you one final thought.
Okay.
I think Matt Campbell is going to meet most of the expectations. If he doesn't, then they clearly would have hired the wrong. If you're a good football, I don't know if he's a great football coach. I think he's a really good football coach. If you're a good football coach and you're given the world, and he's going to have a GM, they're going to have people that are helping to manipulate, you know, the NIL and the portal and all that stuff to help get the right players there, free agency and all that stuff. I think it'd almost be unless you're just terrible like James Franklin was on Saturdays, I think it's almost impossible to screw that up. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I think the perfect example of that is Ryan Day. He has everything around him set up in which we see flashes every
Ryan
once
Day's
in a while.
Not a great coach.
I don't think Ryan Day's an incredible
caller
coach.
Caller number three,
he's
if you're
coach
out there, you want to call. I don't think Ryan Day's a great coach.
He's a good coach.
I thought that decision against – this is why I don't know if you missed this, Mitchell, when I said it yesterday. When Ohio State, if they play Indiana again, I'm putting $1,000 on Ohio State. I'm putting $1,000 on Ohio State on the money line. Because that the next time Ryan Day is not going to try a field goal with the game on, because then the season's on the line. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but I don't think Ryan Day is a great game coach. I mean, he's not James Franklin bad, but he's certainly not Kirby Smart good.
Yeah. What are you guys hearing about the coordinators?
Well, he brought his defensive guy from Iowa State. What's the guy's name? Hujir?
Something like that.
Hujir.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about him. Now, Penn State did lose Ty Howell today.
That's a big loss.
The tight ends coach said he's going to be the offensive coordinator for James Franklin at Virginia Tech. That is a big loss. Ty Howell's done a great job. They're probably going to lose Phil Troutwine. I'm sure Phil Troutwine has been a very good recruiter, up and down as a coach with the offensive line, but he's been a great recruiter. Anthony Poindexter, I've never been a big Anthony Poindexter fan, so I think that's really neither here nor there if he comes or goes.
If James Franklin wants to take Marcus Hagans, he could have.
Yeah, he can have Marcus Hagans, yeah. All right, anything else, Mitchell? Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Tim, what's going on, dude?
Well, I followed the private equity deal with the Big Ten a little bit. So from what I understand how it works, that was supposed to be the California Pension Fund was going to invest $2 billion in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And then over a number of years, I don't know if it was 20 or 30 years, I forget exactly, they were going to get a certain percentage of the Big Ten revenue, right? So it's in essence, you know, even though the word equity's in it, it's like borrowing. You're getting money up front in exchange for payments down the road. So that's, you know, but if Penn State got $1 billion, right, at 3% interest, you could get $30 million a year, you know, off of that $1 billion. That's what they're promising in NIL money. I don't, you know the terms on who has, you know, I would assume the teams, you know, would not give as much control as maybe the Big Ten could, you know, as a conference. I mean, I don't think Penn State would want to let, you know, or would the California Pension Fund want to even, you know, delve that deep? But if things go south, you never know.
Interesting. But, I think it's the opposite, Tim. I think if there's some private equity group out there that's going to give $500 or $1 million or $1 billion to one school, I think ultimately over time, it's going to be they're going to want as much say in things as possible. And as we're discussing this, and Nathan, I think you said you've seen Goodfellas, but only like some of it or partly. I've seen Goodfellas 50 or 75 times. Many of you have seen. So the way the mafia works, here's the way the mafia works, all right? Okay? I'm protecting you, all right? You make $100 this week, pay me. You lose $100 this week, F you, pay me. You lose $10,000 this week, F you, pay me. You lose $100,000, F you, pay me. You have to pay these people. Mm-hmm. And so what's the guy's name? Morty, I think, is the wig salesman. They end up killing him in Goodfellas. He's the one complaining about money. Jimmy, I want my money. Jimmy, I want my money. I want my money. I want my money. And so this is when you get private equity, I hate to kind of compare private equity to the mafia. They're getting their money. They're going to get their money no matter how much money you're making or losing. So you'd better damn well make a lot to make sure that they're getting theirs.
Yeah, Corey, I think I didn't explain one thing correctly. I agree with you. You know, they would want more control over a team because it's up and down. You know, the Big Ten as a conference probably is pretty steady because you've got, you know, teams up, you got teams down, and, you know, different sports and all those kind of things. But, you know, I think a university would have to be really sold on, you know, what those limits would be. But the other thing that I guess for me, I would give Matt Campbell 2 years, you know, and, you know, let him get his, you know, people in there. They're already behind the eight ball in recruiting. It used to say you'd take 3 or 4 years for a coach. I don't think that's true anymore with the portal. So I'd say if he makes the playoffs 2 or 3 times in 5 years, I think it would be a success. I guess it depends, you know, how far you go in those playoffs.
That's fascinating, Tim. I just don't agree. I just don't agree with that. Making the playoff right now is the minimum expectation. I think it's the minimum expectation for this coach. Maybe they'll give him a honeymoon period for 1 year. But starting in 2027, if you don't make the playoff every single year, then that's 1 year closer to you being fired. And again, this is where Indiana and Texas Tech have changed. You think Penn State's going to fork over 30 plus million on the roster to not make the playoff?
I think you got to make the playoffs 2 out of every 3 years is probably the correct
math. But in at least one of those 2 or 3 years, though, that you've got to get to the Final Four. You've got to make a legit run to win the whole thing.
Man, it's tough. Think about how many teams missed the playoffs this year that are good teams, like Texas. Like Steve Sarkisian, he missed the playoffs. Is he on the hot seat?
Yes,
right now?
I promise you, he's on the hot seat. Right?
No, he's
I promise
not.
You. Not that he's going to get fired, but he misses the playoff next year. He's fired. I promise you. If Steve Sarkisian misses, dude, that's all they care about in Texas. They don't have all these misgivings about everything. I'll bet you $100 right now today, Nathan Forlina, if Texas misses the playoff next year, Steve Sarkisian will not be their coach in 2027. Either he will be fired, forced out, take another job somewhere else, or go to the NFL.
It depends on what their record would be. If they're 9-3 again in the similar situation right now, then he'll be the coach.
Actually think Texas should be in the playoff.
They
Everybody's
should.
Bitching about Notre Dame. Texas is one of the top 12 teams in the country.
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead, Tim.
Corey.
Go ahead.
The only reason I say 2 out of 5 this year right now is because of how far the program's been set back with recruiting this year. So, you know, it's a little different. If it was, you know, not so bad, I would have, you know, said you're right. But, you know, look what's happening next year. Notre Dame finishes in the top 12. They're in. You look at their schedule. Their schedule's garbage.
They're going to change this as well. We're not going to have this garbage of JMU and Tulane both in. You cannot have, as I saw somebody point out, 17% of your playoff be two teams that don't have deserve to sniff the playoff.
The spread's like 21.5 or something like
God,
that. That's
really?
Insane.
For Tulane or James Madison?
I believe that is James Madison.
Anything else, Tim?
No, that's all, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. One more before we take a break. Guy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, I'm a diehard Penn State fan, but I'm also a realistic fan. I mean, when you sit back, you got a brand-new coach coming in. You got to give him at least this year to try to get his feet wet. And the thing with him with expectations, if he doesn't realize what his expectations are coming to a Penn State, he should have never signed the contract.
It's a great point. Let's go down that. Because, look, I do think they're going to give him a honeymoon period of a year. Okay, so we'll agree on that. On your second point, I don't think there's any way that he can know what he's getting into. Just like, I'm sure you're old enough to remember Bobby Bonilla going to New York and saying they'll never take the smile off my face. That lasted a month.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted literally a month when he went to New York to the Mets because he's struggling. And in New York, you go to a different situation. And now it's not the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review with their softball reporters asking softball questions and their lazy media asking softball questions. In New York, now you're on the front page of the tabloids with how bad you suck every single day, okay? And so, I'm not saying Penn State is that because there are still 80%+ of the reporters who cover Penn State are softball as it gets. They have never and will never ask a legitimately difficult question, okay? But the fan base, the pressure, waking up every morning, you lose a game. You lose a game at Iowa State. You wake up the next day, you feel you're pissed, whatever, and the state has just moved on. You lose a game like that at Penn State, you wake up, And nobody forgets about it. Nobody forgets about it 6 years later, okay? You see what I'm getting at? I don't think that there's any way for somebody – I'm not talking about just specifically Matt Campbell. I don't think there's any way for any coach who has never been in that pressure cooker to understand what it is that he's getting in.
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, I can't remember how many years ago it was, and the team escapes my mind, but Nick Saban still hasn't gotten over that game he lost. And it was like an early game where he got upset. I can't think of the team he played.
When they lost Ohio State and Cardale Jones?
No. I'm talking about they got upset by a lower level team. And he still hears about today. And it was like 5-6 years ago.
They were in a dogfight with USF. They didn't lose that game. I'm trying to think about.
There was a game like USF they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he still doesn't live it down. I mean, Penn State fans got to realize one thing. We haven't won a national championship since '86.
Do you think Penn State fans realize that, Guy? I don't.
Not the delusional.
I don't believe they realize that.
Louisiana Monroe, is that who we're thinking of?
Did they lose?
Yes.
2007.
Did Alabama lose to Louisiana Monroe?
Yep.
Wow.
Yes. Nick Saban lost that game, and he still hears about it, and it's 18 years ago.
So 24-point favorite.
This is what we're. This is basically what I'm getting into. Do you think that Penn State fans understand that it's been 39 years since they've won a national title? Because my answer is and always has been no.
I will say no, because if you think a lot of the people that's complaining now probably weren't even alive when that happened.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, guy. 946-0435.
More about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Get a great deal on select Kubota construction equipment featuring durable Kubota engines. More comfort, more productivity, more get it done right. Right now, write it off a lot and write it off your taxes for zero down, 0% APR for up to 36 months or save up to $4,500. Now through December 31st. Subject to credit approval. Consult your tax advisor. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Write it off your taxes at McCoy's Lawn and Garden, Route 36 in Roaring Spring.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
All righty, welcome back. 946-0435. Clarkston, we'll get to you in just one second. Nathan has some great info for you. Go ahead, man. See if you can speak up this time. I know you lost your voice, but you can do it.
All right, I can do it. I just said to Corey at break, I'm just looking at Penn State's schedules upcoming year. Boy, it is the bottom feeders of the Big Ten mostly, so... Matt Campbell, if you
read it.
All right, here we go. We're going to read it in order. So your non-conference schedule, tough Marshall team. Go to Temple and Buffalo. So pretty daunting non-conference schedule. Big Ten, you open up at Maryland. Then you got to go to Ann Arbor. That's going to be a tough game.
They will lose that game.
Yes, that is a very tough game against a young Michigan team that will be taking strides next year. Then you go to Northwestern in a soccer stadium. Then you play Minnesota, Purdue, Rutgers, USC, Wisconsin, and then you travel to Washington.
Okay.
The way this is constructed is horrible. Five straight home games, the Big Ten.
On paper, that looks pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Last year, they almost lost at Minnesota with a team that went to the Final Four and was a play away from the national championship game. They almost lost at Minnesota.
Correct.
It took going forward on fourth down three times to beat Minnesota. UCLA on that schedule?
UCLA is not on that schedule.
UCLA is hot garbage this year. They beat Penn State.
They did.
Northwestern beat Penn State. Now you got to go there. So my point is, yes, I think fans will give him leeway. And I don't foresee 7-5. I think 8-4 is probably the bottom because they're going to have talent. They're going to be able to spend a lot of money and get talent. I'm telling you, I think anything less than 8-4, and I think people start to jump off the ship a pretty good bit.
I think with this schedule, I think you're right.
That's what I'm saying. With that schedule. So they'll allow you to lose to Michigan. If you lose to Michigan, Minnesota, my God, Maryland.
You're not losing to Maryland.
No, you wouldn't think. But Maryland beat them in 2020. Talia beat them in 2020.
Yeah, it was 2020.
I know.
Listen.
My
Mike
point
is not beating
when you lose to UCLA and Northwestern, you can't take any schedule for granted.
Was that an anomaly though?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying though. But it's completely different circumstances.
But anomalies can happen.
They can.
That Illinois team that beat them in 9 overtime, that team was awful. But Sean Clifford was hurt.
Yeah.
So that was an anomaly. All right. Clarkster, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, be careful here. 7 is the over-under. As far as this private equity thing, you better be really careful because this is going to bring on tax consequences for these schools. And it's further drifting apart, one side of the university from the other. So, and you don't know where this money's coming from. I hear something about the Saudis are involved with a lot of this money that's being talked about. So you're going to be bringing on the employer-employee relationship with the tax consequences that this is going to bring. The money is too big to not have the attention of Congress, and tax-exempt statuses are going to come into play.
Do you think Penn State, if they were to decide to go this route, if Utah can get $500 million, how much could Penn State get?
Well, if you're just gauging it that way, sure, you would assume you're looking at the facilities and everything compared to Utah and everything and what it brings in. But you better be careful because people are debating, is college really necessary anymore? And this is going to leave taste in people's mouth that they're going to start to walk away from it. Beware. That's all I'm saying.
Nathan, I will tell you this, because we talk about this stuff all the time. My kids are 13. To what Clarkster just said, I think about it frequently that college is not worth it. Frequently. You're in college. You said the first day here is to get the piece of paper. I don't think the piece of paper, given the money that's going to take, and given, look, this is a big whole conversation more so than I want to have today, with the jobs that are going to be lost with AI. AI will take over. I've seen upwards of 40 to 60% of white-collar jobs in this country in the next 10 years. Am I going to send my kids off to college? Again, this has nothing to do with our conversation today, but do I want my kids to have a $50,000 or $75,000 college debt when AI is taking over 50% of the jobs in the country that they could get?
Yeah, 50 to 75 might be pretty late, Corey, for that debt, but yeah, I mean, I don't see the purpose of it.
What's yours going to be?
I don't know.
Will it be more than 75?
Well, I got that.
Well, you got differences now, but yeah. What, typically speaking, is if you go to Penn State, Altoona for 2 years and then to Maine for 2 years, what's the debt rate? What's the debt load?
Probably about 100.
Yeah, so I will flat tell you right now that I'm not sure I even want my kids to go to college. All you old-timers, you got to go to college, do this and that. That world doesn't exist anymore.
Does not.
That world's gone. All you old-timers, all you old geezers out there that call me all the time, I love you, your world is gone. AI is throwing all of these jobs away. So do I want my kids to go get a $100,000 education? To basically work at Sheetz for $16 an hour? Or go start a construction company, which you can do, you know, on your own without a degree? Or go be a plumber and make 80, 90 grand a year?
The trades are where it's at.
The trades are where it's at, man. I think I weep for colleges, for kids in the future that go spend all that money on college and then come out and realize I am not employable.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times you come out of college and I forget what the statistic is, but it might be 50, 60% of kids, their specialized degree they'd never even use in their entire life.
Sure.
It's crazy. It is crazy to think about.
Eric, what's going on, buddy? It says scandal on here. You bringing up the Patti Smyth band or some other kind of scandal?
No, maybe she misunderstood me. I didn't say scandal, but...
Okay, he said scandal on here.
All right, we're getting past it. Good, all right.
Favorite Christmas song, kind of a mix. It's the real popular ones. It's Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Andy Williams.
Nice, yep.
And Johnny Mathis. I'm a fan of those. I was around the 70s. Heard all them. Excellent singers. Great voices. Great backup. The music, you could understand the lyrics. It was upbeat. So that's where I'm at.
All right, that's good. The old time stuff. That's good.
Yeah, those guys. I think so. Boy, you went a lot of different ways there between I got on here. But anyway, sticking with Matt Campbell, I think some of it, because I'm seeing different things on there. I think, and most of the callers seem to be reflecting, I think he's going to have a little more leeway than what you think. And the reason, one of the things I think, is that look at the demographics of the fan base. It's an older fan base, and they've been very patient. I mean, patient to a fault, matter of fact, with Franklin. So I think he's going to get a little more leeway from the fans than what you're maybe thinking.
It's interesting. This is a very good conversation, but I'm going to have to do this in 30 seconds. It is an older fan base, but the social media, the younger people, the people who raise the most noise.
I'd say those are the loudest.
Those are the loudest fan. Those are the younger people, Eric. Those are the people that put. I do think the older people will give him time, but the noise will come from the younger fans who see what Cignetti has done at NDA. You see what I'm getting at? I don't know if you're on Twitter or not. I don't know if you're on Facebook or not, but the noise is typically from the younger people, and the younger people are impatient.
Yeah, but just as Nathan was saying there earlier, Cignetti and I don't know the guy at Texas Tech, I think they're the outliers. You know, first off, you only have one national championship a year. So in 10 years, at most, you have 10 different national champs. Maybe you get Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama repeating in there a couple times. So now you're down to 7 or 6 different teams. You got 25 teams or more that think their team should be national champs every year. How much can you keep cycling through coaches?
How many of those programs has delusional of fan base as Penn State? 3, 4.
Well, Tennessee's up there.
No, there's no way. There's no way Tennessee's fan base is delusional. The most delusional fan base in this country is Notre Dame. Number 2 is Texas. I would say number 3 is Penn State.
All right. Okay. Hey, good conversation.
All right.
Is on, and he's yet to get into the win column this year.
Frustrated we haven't won for sure, but we've been using it as motivation to keep improving and finding speed, increasing the amount of times that we properly execute throughout the race. Just we haven't really backed away from the fact that we haven't won a race. It's just we're using it to motivate ourselves right now. And 3 weeks ago, we were 120 something points behind William Byron and a lot of those cars up there. And in the last couple of weeks, we've closed the gap. Sonoma, we didn't really make up much ground at all, but we were still able to pass my boss man, Denny, in points. So, yeah, I think we're right on that cusp of being right there. You know, if we keep having weeks like we did the last 3, I think we can keep closing in on it. If we perform at that level, we'll continue to find opportunities to battle for wins, and hopefully one of those come our way too. I don't know. I feel like I know Shane's very good at street courses, and there's a number of drivers that are good at road courses, but something about the way you get around Chicago, I feel like, works for me. I've been fast every time we've gone there. So for us to have the speed that we did was good at Chicago. Sonoma for us was a weekend where we didn't have the speed we wanted. We thought our car drove good. And, you know, we were able to put tires on and get the finish. But I think this weekend will be very important. We've been working hard to really the last 2 months to figure out what we're missing.
This is the final lap. Wesley Financial Group
is not a law firm. Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-939-2525. That's 800-939-2525. 800-939-2525.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Voted hometown favorite, ARC Federal Credit Union is proud to support our community with youth accounts, student loans, annual scholarships, and business loans tailored just for you. With over 200 five-star Google reviews and a commitment to local youth sports, ARC is the credit union that believes in you and your future. Visit arcfcu.org today, your hometown credit union, where community comes first.
All right, so we're going to have a fun little exercise here of what are the most delusional fan bases in college football. I'm going to drop Penn State one from what I just mentioned because I just off the top of my head, the most delusional fan base on this planet is Notre Dame.
Agree.
Number two, I will put Texas simply because they spend more money than anybody else, and they're not Ohio State. Like, if Texas were Ohio State, but they expect to be. Because of the amount of resources. So I'll put Texas at number two. A minute ago, I had Penn State number three. I'm going to drop Penn State to number four. And I'm going to put Miami at number three.
Yeah.
Because Miami, quite frankly, for the last 20 years, has been a side kind of program. Good every now and then, but they expect to be what they were, like, you know, during their glory years. And Miami's been nowhere near as good as Penn State for basically the last 20 years. And then I'll put Penn State four, five, maybe USC.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through the conferences and stuff like that. You took Miami right out of my mouth. Very delusional fan base. I think Florida State's in that position too. They expect greatness every year. They kind of suck. I mean, let's be honest, they haven't been
relevant. They won the title, what was it, 13 maybe?
2013, Jameis Winston back there. So I think that's all out of the AC. Clemson might be starting to get to that point where, because their run's over and they feel like they should still be competing at the highest level. Big 12.
Who's honestly, number one? Notre Dame?
Notre Dame's
anybody
number
else?
One.
Anybody else? Who you got two?
I think USC's up there for me. I think USC's reasonable. Very delusional. I think Penn State's up there as well.
We're going to close this because the reason I'm talking about this is because, again, all of you seem to think that they're going to give Matt Campbell a year of leeway. I'm fine with that. I can see that. We don't have any idea what the roster will be. I think the roster is going to be pretty good. When all is said and done, they're going to go buy a lot of good players for next year. And the recruiting clash this year disappeared, that won't be felt for two or three years anyway, and they'll be keep buying players by then anyway. So if you had this kind of recruiting class in a typical college football year, it would crush your program down the road. Now I don't really think it matters. I don't think it matters a whole hell of a lot. The 15 guys that you might have needed to be superstars out of this recruiting, you're going to go buy them. You're going to go buy them now. So, again, if he has a honeymoon period for a year, I got a text from A-Dog a little bit ago that said $10.5 million a year, $17 million for assistant coaches, and then $30 million for NIL. He says Coach Campbell will be expected to make the playoff every year at PSU.
Again, it's hard, though. It's hard to make the playoffs every year.
But it's going to be 16 before too long. You know that, right?
Yes. Then that
and,
then
and they're going to take away the two group of five things, and that's going to make it easier.
And that completely changes to where now you need to make it probably 8 or 9 times
eight
out of 10.
Four could get there, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse. Aww. Don't get stranded on the way to Grandma's house this holiday season. At Central PA Truck, Auto, and Tire Service, they'll make sure that your vehicle is in top running order for you and your family. Why? Because they have family, too. And they understand how important it is to keep your family safe. Call Central PA Truck, Auto, and Tire Service today. 212-8200. That's 212-8200. And they will get you to Grandma's safe and sound.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hank FM.
All right, we've got Black and Gold Breakdown coming up here in about 2 minutes. We're going to talk expectations for the Steelers. What did you think about that win Sunday?
I thought that they, you know, the refs helped them out a little bit.
Did they? That was a touchdown. I mean, it wasn't a touchdown. By the rule, it wasn't a touchdown.
Anybody who watches football says that's a touchdown.
They've beaten the Ravens, and they've beaten the Chargers. They lost to the Bills.
Listen,
is there any team in the AFC? And the Colts are not. Is there any team in the AFC?
Philip Rivers. That's like a
is there any team in the AFC that you think that the Steelers cannot beat on a given day?
Outside the Bills, no.
I think they could beat the Bills on a given day. The Bills look like crap for the first part of that game against the Bengals.
Did we watch the same game 10 days ago?
Yeah.
9 days ago?
On any given day. Not just one game. All right, we'll get to Black Gold Breakdown.
I think anybody in the NFL.
Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona. A service of Lightner Communications.